As a group, Seventh-day Adventists are among the most health and fitness-oriented folks in the world. In the early days of the church, however, believers had no idea of how to maintain their health.
Please pass the pork chops, Brother Hansen, and the salt, cellar, and pepper. I like lots of seasoning.
Certainly, Brother Page. And I'd like some more of that good hot bread and butter next to you.
Sister Page, would you like some more coffee?
Thank you, Sister Hansen. Lots of sugar, please.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to a big wedge of your mince pie, too. You make the richest pies I've ever tasted. Why, when I press down on the crust, I can just see the lard squeeze out.
Nothing was known of the causes of disease, and not even doctors had any idea that diet affected health.
Oh. Feeling any better, Marty?
Oh, no, Zach, it just keeps getting worse. Oh, I wish there was something we could do to keep from getting sick.
That'd be right nice. But we can't control sickness any more than we can control the weather. It's all ordered by God's hand. And we just have to accept his will. Now, Marty, the doctor said you have to eat.
Mm-mm.
I brought you some nice hot biscuits and pork gravy.
The leaders of the young Adventist church were as much prone to the diseases of the time as anybody else. Perhaps the only exception was Joseph Bates, who had discarded meat, tea and coffee, and rich foods early on. The belief of many of the members that tobacco was bad was confirmed by a vision Ellen had in the fall of 1848.
I saw in vision that tobacco was a filthy weed and that it must be laid aside. Unless it's given up, the one that uses it cannot be sealed with the seal of the living God. Those who have been in the habit of using tobacco will have a struggle to leave off. But they must not be discouraged.
Please pray for me, brethren, that I may gain the victory.
We'll all pray for you and with you, Brother Rhodes.
Amen!
Samuel Rhodes was cured of his craving and never again used tobacco, although others continued to chew and smoke. The emphasis in these early years was on tobacco, tea, and coffee. But in 1854, Ellen White was given more light on health.
It was so clear, James. I saw that God will have a clean and holy people. He doesn't consider an untidy, unclean person to be a Christian. And the houses of the saints, too, should be kept tidy and neat, free from dirt and filth and all uncleanness.
I've remarked how careless some of the believers are in regard to cleanliness. What else did you see, Ellen?
Appetite must be denied. If we wish to keep well, we must take special care of the health God has given us. It's important to deny the unhealthy appetite. We must eat less fine food.
What should we eat, then?
Coarse, wholesome food, free from grease. Then we can ask God's blessing and derive strength from our food.
On June 6, 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, and less than 2 weeks after the General Conference was organized, Ellen was asked to lead out in prayer at family worship in the Aaron Hilliard home in Otsego, Michigan. James was experiencing a letdown after the long battle for organization, and the church members were concerned about his depression. As she prayed for her husband, Ellen put her hand on his shoulder.
We ask that thou wilt extend thy hand to encourage and strengthen him. Glory, glory, glory.
Don't be frightened, brothers and sisters. Sister White is in vision. She's in no danger. We'll just wait until she comes out of it. She's coming out of vision now. How long has it been, Brother Hilliard?
45 minutes.
Ellen, can you tell us what you saw?
I... I don't think I can right now. It was about health, but so different, so strange.
Two weeks later, the Whites, with 9-year-old Willie, were in Allegan, Michigan, as guests of Dr. Horatio Lay.
Sister White, I'm most eager to hear what you saw in your vision on health. Please, tell us.
I don't see how I can, Dr. Lay. I'm not familiar with medical language, and much of the matter presented was so different from commonly accepted views that I fear I couldn't relate it so that it would be understood.
Well, please, tell us what you've been shown, and see if we can understand it.
Yes, Ellen, try it.
Well, I saw that pain and sickness, in most cases, are simply nature trying to overcome the transgressions of nature's laws.
Amazing.
I saw that temperance means much more than just giving up liquor.
What does it mean, then?
It includes working and eating moderately. We shouldn't eat so much or so often, and I was shown that there are serious dangers of contracting disease through eating meat.
Meat?
I told you it was strange. And I was shown that we shouldn't ever eat swine's flesh.
Then those who've spoken against swine's flesh were correct.
Yes. The problem was they tried to make it a test of fellowship too soon. We had to organize first so the Lord could make his will known to the church rather than to one or two individuals. He leads his people only as far as they're ready to go.
Praise the Lord!
I was shown that reform in health matters is part of the third angel's message. We must have clear, healthy minds in order to understand the will of God, and strong bodies in order to do his bidding. Taking care of our health isn't just a good idea, it's a sacred religious duty.
Young Willie listened avidly as the conversation moved to Dr. Lay's parlor, where it continued for 2 hours. The vision included information on the healthful benefits of water, sunlight, and fresh air. James and Ellen were specifically told they had been wrong to exhaust themselves with extremely long hours of labor. James was told to stop dwelling on the uncooperativeness of some of the other church leaders. That such a state of mind endangered his health.
And James, I was shown that you and I have a special work to arouse others to do their duty, to come out against intemperance. I saw that we should wake up minds to the subject of health.
We'll start practicing these health principles immediately. We can have 2 meals a day, at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m.
And we'll cut out meat.
Ellen was a great meat eater and thought she had to have flesh food to prevent her frequent fainting spells. She especially hated bread, but she was determined to obey the instructions of the Lord.
For these things we thank thee. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, what have we here? Carrots and string beans, steamed without butter or bacon drippings, and bread?
There's no butter?
That's right, Henry. And no meat either.
But, Mother, you can't do without meat.
The Lord has shown me that meat is injurious to our health. I will obey. Please pass me the bread, Willie.
Here you are, Mother.
Thank you.
Oh, huh? This is terrible.
What did you say?
I said, stomach, you may wait until you can eat bread. I'll eat simple food, or I won't eat at all.
After a few missed meals, Ellen could eat bread, even whole wheat bread, which they called Graham bread. Her fainting spells disappeared. She rarely ate meat after that. And after the Brighton, Australia camp meeting of 1894, she never ate it again. For the next several months, Ellen was busy writing and publishing the instructions she had received. People who tried the health reform wrote enthusiastic reports to the Review, and after 1866, to the new Health Reformer magazine.
I enjoy as perfect health as probably can be enjoyed in this mortal state. I would not return to my old habits of eating for any consideration. Elder Isaac Sanborn.
I believe the reform came up just in time to save me from becoming a complete wreck. M.E. Cornell.
My cough is better. I have gained in flesh, have more warmth in my system, and feel better prepared to endure another cold winter. Elder John Byington.
Bless God for the health reform. It has come as a messenger of mercy, strengthening the body, cheering the mind, and refreshing the spirit. Elder J.H. Wagoner.
In 1865, the women of the Battle Creek Church produced recipes for meatless meals, to be included in the first number of How to Live, a series of six pamphlets on health. One of the recipes was for Graham Gems, a kind of whole wheat muffin which became very popular. Predictably, some people went to extremes in their reforms. In 1868, Ellen roundly denounced the practices of two men who had enforced prolonged fasting on their families. As a result, one young man died, and the father was barely saved.
Ellen, are you writing the testimonies for brothers, what are you calling them?
B and C.
It's a disgrace. If they'd treated their animals the way they treated their families, their community would have risen up and brought them to justice.
Brother B's wife was denied sufficient food and clothing when she was pregnant. It would have been better for her to have a little milk and sugar, salt, white bread, than nothing. If those weren't available, a little wine would have been better than starvation.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Even a small amount of the least objectionable meat would have been all right under the circumstances. She should never have allowed her husband to become God, conscience, and will to her.
I'm glad you're writing to them. The health reform is unpopular in the world. When church members act like this, they cause the whole message to be ridiculed.
The settlers on the western prairies had a limited variety of food and almost no fruit. Ellen advised against pressing them further than they could go in health reform. She also would not bow to pressure to ban milk, salt, and sugar, although she said it was best to keep them to a minimum. When Willie found that three small meals worked better than two large ones for his family, Ellen did not reprove him. Her stock answer to those who enforced her writings inappropriately was, "Time and circumstances must always be taken into account."